ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
I think the text is showing us that Achan was stoned and burned. How do I know that for sure? Because of the words that we read here. Verses 25 and 26, it says, you, you, him, him. It's speaking of Achan being stoned and a heap of stones placed over him. And I think we all are in agreement with that. Verses 24 and 25, the words them, them, and them are used. And I think it's speaking of his possessions, not children, the animals and stuff. They stoned and burned his possessions, and they burned them separately, not with Achan. You would think if the family, they would put them in a heap all together. But no, these were separated. But I do think his family did witness this. But I don't think they were judged for Achan. And here's one of the reasons why. In Ezekiel 18:20, the Lord said, the soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. In other words, we're accountable for our own sins. And thus, I don't think this family was put to death here with Achan for his sin. I don't think the text supports that. Now, what does this mean to us? Because that's really important. It means we have to put to death sin in our lives. You don't play with sin. You don't entertain sin. You put it to death. One writer put it like this. Lingering, habitual, out of control. How would you describe the persistence of sin in your life? Many Christians, even though they are sincerely committed to following Christ, continue to live with besetting sins. They continue to feel as if they are powerless to overcome the impulse to act against God's commands in their own better judgment. It's easy to believe that this is just the way things are. Nobody's perfect, right? Pretending like we are feels self-righteous or hypocritical. Popular culture accepts and sometimes celebrates the fact that we each have our deep and personal hang-ups. Everyone has a skeleton in her closet. It's not a matter if you have an addiction, a secret indulgence, a private vice. It's a matter of which one and when it will come to light. If this is true, maybe we should just accept our weakness and embrace them as part of who we are. But here in the scriptures, they stop us. A persistent theme of the New Testament, especially in letters by Paul, is that the sinful habits we find so hard to shake are not an integral part of us. We're not condemned to sin forever. Instead, Paul insists that Christians can be dead to sin. As John Wesley explained it, this means being freed both from the guilt and from the power of it. That's a countercultural message in a society convinced we're all broken beyond repair. And that's really the idea of society. You know, don't fight against sin. Just give in to it. You can't fight it anyway. Ridiculous. We can't fight it on our own, but in the power of God. You know, remember Daniel. Daniel was a young man who was taken captive by the Babylonians when they invaded the southern kingdom of Judah during the first of three invasions. The third invasion, they completely wiped out the city, destroyed the temple. But the first one, they took Daniel, his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, brought him to Babylon. And Daniel was highly blessed by God. And the king wanted to train him up in the Babylonian way. But something interesting in Daniel, it says that Daniel purposed in his heart to honor God. He purposed in his heart. What does that mean? Does that mean, you know, he just stood firm and didn't give in? I think there's more to it than that. I think you have to purpose in your heart what you want to do. I think you have to surrender all. I think that's the key. If we really think we can win this battle on our own apart from God, you're mistaken. I think Daniel surrendered his life to the Lord. Lord, I am. I'm in this foreign country. They're trying to train me in the ways, the Babylonian ways. Teach me about their gods and their things that they do. Lord, I give it all to you. And the Lord did honor Daniel greatly. That's what we need to do. Surrender all to Lord. I can't fight this on my own. I don't want to go down this path. I don't want to do these things. You know, if you have a problem with alcohol, you don't hang out at a bar, right? Why? Because that's a temptation right there. If you've been freed from drugs, you don't hang out with your friends who are taking drugs, right? If you have a problem with pornography and you have a problem with your internet, get rid of the internet. Here's something you may not know, and I'm just, you know, trying to help you out here. If you get rid of your internet, you will not die. I'm just, public service announcement, I'm just trying to tell you. If you have a problem with those things, you got to get rid of them, right? You get rid of those things that are drawing you back into that sin that got it from. We have to be wise. And here's the wonderful thing. We are all broken, but not beyond repair. And I praise God for that. God is amazing at putting our lives back together. You know, we all know the story of Humpty Dumpty. He fell off the wall and, you know, broke, and all the king's horses, all the king's men couldn't put him back together again. Our God, creator of heaven and earth, can take these broken lives again. And he has, and he's continuing to do that in our lives. Paul in Romans 6:11 said, "Likewise you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." In this world today, sin is always going to be out there. In fact, I think it's on the increase in these last days. That's just the reality. The issue is, what do we do with that sin? And Paul says you need to be dead to sin. Don't let it affect your life. Reckon, the term reckon, was an accounting term, to put into your account. God has given us the ability to reckon sin to be dead, to put sin to death. But we have to come to him. And we do it by faith. Dead to sin, alive. And the problem is, look, we still have these bodies of flesh, and that flesh nature, that old man or woman, does try to resurrect itself and control our lives. But God is working in each of us. It's called the sanctification process. The moment we get saved, God is purging out that garbage from our lives. Turn over to Romans chapter 8 for a minute. I'm going to look at verses 18 through 20. Look at what Paul says here. Romans 8, starting in verse 18. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption or decay into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. And not only they, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body." We long for that day. We're not immune to sin or temptation. And it doesn't mean that we're not going to sin. It means we need to be dead to sin, to that old life. Don't go back. In fact, Paul in Ephesians 2:1 said, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." That's how we were living. Why do you want to go back to that lifestyle? When we were born into this world, we were born dead in sin. We as Christians many times try to clean people up who aren't saved. And my point is, why? Why do you want to clean them up? You need to bring them to the Savior who will clean them up. You see, if you clean them up and, you know, they're living a nice lifestyle and things are going well for them, they're going to spend eternity in hell apart from Christ. What have you done for them? You helped them for maybe, what, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years? Compared to eternity, that's nothing. I can't believe how fast time goes. Jeff was listening to our study on Saturday, and it was from the Old Testament. I think it was from the Old Testament. I don't remember, but it was from a while ago. And in that study, I was like, I can't believe I'm 47 years old. What are you laughing at? You can't either, huh? It was 13 years ago. I'm 60, going on 61. What happened? That's how fast time goes. Compared to eternity, this is nothing. And don't you want your friends, your family, to spend eternity with the Lord instead of just being good down here, whatever that means? Absolutely. because with the Lord is for eternity. When we come to Christ, when we repent of our sins and ask Jesus to be Lord and Savior of our lives, we're born again, and that spirit that was once dead is now alive. It's made alive by God in our lives, and we're sensitive to the things of God. We're no longer at war with God, but we live to serve Him, to please Him, and we're dead to sin. Sin no longer has jurisdiction over our lives. It shouldn't. I mean, think about it. The natural man dead in sin, saved man dead to sin. Do you see the difference? It's huge. But when we start allowing sin into our lives and that which we are to be dead to, we're stimulating and playing with it. Have you ever thought about a rabid dog, you know? Would you cuddle, play with, sleep with a rabid dog? I mean, come on, there's just a little froth coming out of his mouth. And just because his name is Cujo, it can't be that bad, right? I mean, come on. If you think you could play with a rabid dog without being contaminated by its poison, that's how we're to think of sin. I mean, if it sticks in your mind, think of sin as Cujo, that dog, you know, saliva hanging out, the rabid dog. I guess he was more than that, but you know what I mean. Because that dog will only bring death and destruction to all who come in contact with it. That's how we're to look at sin. In Romans 6, look at verse 12, starting in verse 12. Where Paul said this. He said, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments or weapons of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments or weapons of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under God. If we allow sin to continue in our lives, it would be inconsistent with the new life we have in Christ. Because we're supposed to be dead to sin. Not that we don't sin anymore, but if that is what's continually flowing from our lives, something's wrong. Don't open the door to sin, because it's hard to close. And here's the thing, whoever you surrender your will to will be in your life. It's either going to be Christ, and we surrender to Him, we see godly things for our lives. Our bodies are used as instruments of righteousness, beautiful music will be heard from our life. But if we surrender to sin, then we'll see the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. It will not be good. Our bodies will end up being instruments of unrighteousness to sin, and the music people will hear will be very destructive. And Paul says, sin shall not have dominion over us. Sometimes we give a false impression of what the Christian life is all about. We think, once you come to Christ, everything is fine. No more problems. You wake up in the morning, you know, you get up, you get out of bed, you're walking down the road, Mr. Bluebird's on your shoulder, you know, it's just great. How many of you have found that to be true? None of you? No, because that's not the reality. There's always bad. Mr. Bluebird always leaves something on your shoulder. Sorry. Think about Joshua. Joshua's a picture of that spirit-filled life of walking from the wilderness, the carnal life, crossing over the Jordan into the new life in the land of Canaan, the promised land. And what do they face? Battle. Battle after battle. Battle. Because that's the way it is. It's who you're going to surrender your life to. If you want to surrender to sin, you're going to be defeated. That's just the reality. If you surrender to God, you'll see those victories in you. But the life of faith will always involve temptations. But along with those temptations, the Lord is growing us. He's taught our faith. He's showing us what's inside of us so we can grow and mature. And I guess, who are we going to listen to? And it's always a battle. It's always a struggle. Again, in Romans, starting in Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 15, listen to what Paul said. He put it like this. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For the will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Again, here's the thing, and it's, you know, sometimes it's confusing as I read what Paul's saying here, but he's saying basically, look, I want to do things for the Lord. I want to serve him. But the things I want to do, I end up not doing. And the things that I don't want to do, those are the things I'm doing. I'm struggling. I'm battling in this. And it's tough. And then he goes on to say, oh, wretched man, in verse 24, that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. It's a battle. And Paul in Ephesians 4, verses 22 to 24 says that you put off, this is what we're to do, concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Put those things off. As we spend our day in the world, we need to be cleansed. How are we cleansed? By the washing of the word. We come home, we read the word of God, it cleanses us, it refreshes us, it encourages us, it corrects us, whatever we need. Make sure you put off that old man. Discard it from your life and put on Christ. It's interesting. Unhealthy eating and lifestyle will affect our physical health. Yeah. And the same is true with our spiritual life. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinks in his heart, so he is. What do you feel? Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's going on the inside? Are you building up the inner man? Are you growing in the Lord? Are you maturing? Are you filling yourself up with the things of God? Because that's really what's important. We need to grow in our relationship with him. And it is a process. The natural man is controlled by the flesh. Whatever his flesh wants to do, that's what he does. And we see how that's played out in the world today. It's so confusing, right? Fred was just telling me today about this weightlifting championship. I think it was it high school or college? I think it was college weightlifting for girls. And someone who is a guy, wanted to be a girl, entered into the competition. Guess what? Won. Of course he won. He's a guy. He's built differently. His muscles are different. I mean, why do you think years ago the Germans were taking the steroids, the women were, for the different sporting events? Because they would get muscles like guys. It wasn't normal for them. But that's how confused we are. We don't even know what to do anymore. And I'd love to see what's going to happen for the next Olympics. How are they going to do this one? Because I'm telling you, if I'm a guy, I'm just going to say, well, I'm a girl, and I'm going to go against these women here. Because if I'm an Olympic athlete, and I'm a guy, I'm sure I can beat them. Because most of the guys' times, obviously, are faster than the women. Is that crazy or what? That's how confused we are. When you move away from the truths of God found in the Word of God, when you move towards sin, everything is a mess. It's cloudy. We don't even know what to do anymore. We don't even know what bathrooms to use anymore. I shake my head. But here's the thing. Don't get used to sin. Because the more you do, the harder it'll be to stop. Let me share this story with you. This gentleman said, during my college years, in my infinite wisdom, it occurred to me that it made no sense to stop at red traffic lights when there was clearly no traffic around. So I began to stop only briefly, just long enough to check for cars and then proceeded. My stops became shorter and shorter, and eventually I no longer stopped at all. I simply checked out the landscape well in advance and, if no cars were coming, proceeded full speed through the red light. One day, something changed all of that. I've never run a red light since. I was approaching an isolated light in an area where there was rarely traffic in the busiest of times. I had already checked out the landscape and was near the empty intersection when a car topped the hill to my left. It was too far away to pose any threat, but it did pose a problem. It was a police car. He said, but that is not what changed my ways, because I got the car stopped and received no more punishment than a dirty glance. What scared me enough to put an end to that practice was what occurred in the split seconds between spotting the patrol car and getting the car stopped. In that instant, my foot moved from the gas pedal to the brake pedal and then back to the gas pedal. I did not will to do that. My foot just did it. My foot did that because that is how I had trained my mind to respond. I had continually ignored what had once been a clear signal to stop, a red light. And as a result, that signal was no longer clear. and the same occurs with sin, God. Our God-given conscience gives us warning signals, and we can heed those signals or ignore them. And if we ignore them often enough, we'll fail to recognize them as signals at all. That's pretty powerful, but that's a reality. Be very careful. Romans 6:11, Paul said, "Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus the Lord." And the Amplified Bible puts it like this. "Even so, consider yourselves also dead to sin and your relation to it broken, but alive to God, living in unbroken fellowship with him in Christ Jesus." Absolutely. And I realize this is not an easy subject to deal with, but obviously it's something we need to deal with because sin is all around us in this world. And think about this, and here's a very encouraging part to me. Not the name Achan, because the name Achan means trouble. I don't know, when this kid was young, I don't know, they called him Achan. Oh, here comes trouble, right? Not a good thing. There is the Valley of Achor, which means Valley of Trouble. And in Hosea 2:15, something interesting is said. "I will give her her vineyards from there, and the Valley of Achor as a door of hope. She shall sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up from the land of Egypt." Well, what about? What does it mean that there's a door in the Valley of Trouble? I think it's a picture of Jesus. That we are in trouble, you might say, in our sins. We're dead in our sins. There's no hope. And yet there is a door that we can enter through. And Jesus is that door where we'll find forgiveness of sin. It's a door of hope that Hosea talked about. And once we've been set free in Christ, once the truth of God found in the Word of God sets us free, then you have to walk in that new life we have in Christ. Death to sin and alive in Christ. Paul in Galatians 5 said, "And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Crucifying the flesh. I don't know if you've noticed that there are some churches now that, trying to draw people in, have put in their churches bars. So you can go and have a beer or whatever at church to draw people in. Well, I mean, what other stuff do we want to bring in? And I'm not saying having a beer is sin. Drunkenness is. But what about people within the church that have a problem with alcoholism, and now you're bringing this into the church? Is that an issue? Absolutely it isn't. How dangerous. We've been set free. We've crucified the flesh. For me, I don't care if people have a beer or whatever. Drunkenness is the issue. For me personally, I haven't had a drink in over 30-some years. I don't need to. And I don't want to stumble anyone. And that's probably the biggest issue. I don't want to stumble anyone. I don't want someone, you know, seeing me at a restaurant. "Hey, look, Joe's, you know, throwing down a brewski. Maybe I'm going to get some. If it's okay with for him, it must be okay for me." I don't want to do that. So I don't. That's just me personally. But here's the thing. God has given us victory over sin in our life. And again, not that we're never going to sin. We are, because we got this flesh nature. But do we give in to that so much? We need to crucify the flesh, put it to death on a daily basis if we're going to walk in the victory. And I truly believe that surrendering totally to the Lord, saying, you know, "Lord, help me live the kind of life you want me to live." Walking in the Spirit. Remember, the flesh is warring against the Spirit. There's a battle going on. Who are you going to surrender to? You surrender to the Spirit's leading and you'll have the victory. That's what we see here in the book of Joshua. When they surrendered to the Lord's leading, they had the victory. When they disobeyed the Lord, when they brought accursed things into their camp, they saw defeat. And here's the wonderful thing one day, God. There is coming a day when the Lord was going to remove the curse of sin altogether. We see it in Revelation 22:3. The eternal state. Sin is gone. Hallelujah, right? But until that time, remember, dead to sin, lost. Never forget that. Christ died. He paid in full the penalty for our sins, not so we can sin more, but he's given us now the power to overcome those sins in our life. Dead to sin, alive in Christ. Father, again, we thank you for this message, Lord, and it's a heavy one. And it's so easy to just play with sin, have, you know, be entertained by sin, and before you know it, we're hooked in the sin that we never, ever dreamed we would be. Lord, I pray for all of us here this morning that may be struggling with some sin in our lives, that we can give it totally to dead to sin, alive in Christ, crucifying that flesh and walking in the new life we have in you, Lord. We thank you so much for that. Give us the power to live, to glory, and to shine the light of Christ up. We thank you and ask things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.